Today is the theme of adoption. If you've not picked up on that, we've been singing about how our adoption has been made possible through Christ. And we've sung about a Redeemer. We've thanked our Father. And we've sung through here this morning how our Father is always faithful and how He has known us, everything about us. And there's just something beautiful about being adopted. And we have families in our congregation who have participated in adoption. They've adopted children. And we have one young couple here who's in the process. And so we've asked Jamie and Jessica if they would kind of come and share their heart, kind of how God has led them through this process and where they are. So I just want to encourage you give them your attention, all right?
Wow, well, I am nervous today. I'm not sure why, but I want to make a few thank yous if I can before I start my three-point outline. It's about our story. So our story is going to be about our struggle. It's going to be about our satisfaction, and then it's going to be a challenge to you, but I'm going to call that challenge support. But before I get there, I want to thank two of my best friends in the whole world, my brothers, John and Andrew, and their wives for coming. And then, Jim, I hear that song 991, it gets me every time. So thank you. I wasn't actually planning on reading from hymnal number 344 this morning, but if you want to turn there with me, you can follow as I read. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. What are those next two words, church? What does that mean, church? It means you're adopted. That's all that means. Joint heirs, immediate adoption, only because of the fountain of blood. That's it. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Didn't know that was there, did you? You ever thought about it that way? You ever thought of joint heirs as being the true definition of adoption and how we get to be true joint heirs of the only Savior? Again, I wasn't planning on going there, so this is going to be a terrible segue into my three-point outline, but our story started somewhere between 5 and 7 years ago, sometime between 2007 and 2009, when we were saying, are we serious about our relationship? If we are serious about it, let's start talking about what our future is going to hold. Because if we're serious about it, then let's really talk about marriage. Because marriage is certainly going to be the end goal. So we started having those talks. Everybody has, you know. How are we going to make money? How are we going to live? What are we going to eat? You know, we go through all the Matthew 6, 31 things that we just read, right? How many children are we going to have? Are we going to have children? Absolutely. We want a family. We're blessed to have 4 nieces and nephews. We know what it's like. We've got friends with beautiful kids. Love those kids. And then, out of the blue, and I've told her this, we've talked about this quite a bit this week. It was Jessica who brought up the idea of adoption. And I said, well, absolutely. One of her best friends, Sarah, who just had a baby after having twins last year, God bless her, she was adopted. Our niece Brooke was adopted. Every one of you, we're adopted. Every one of you are adopted. So that's our story. That was the, that's my discussion point of the pre-marriage, the pre-engagement talks that we had. So leading up to our marriage and after our marriage, you start making kids, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes. And then after a couple of years, we start thinking about, well, something's not going on here. Something's not going on here. So we start looking into doctors, and we start looking into treatments, and we start looking into injections, and we start looking into other avenues to use science, if you will, to help us have our own children. So that's where the struggle really began, because, you know, I wouldn't say that we were promised anything by the numerous doctors and nurses that we've seen, but it just seemed like a no-brainer. You know, we go into their doctor's office, and all across their wall is just pictures of babies, you know, pictures of twins, pictures of triplets, and then their birthday pictures, and then their Christmas pictures. And so it's like, this is going to work. You know, this is the avenue that we're being sent down. Month goes by, another month goes by, a lot of money goes by, a lot of injections are had, a lot of weird interviews, or not interviews, but exams are done, a lot of weird treatments are had, and it continues. The cycle, the struggle cycle just continues, and then 3 months, 4 months ago, we looked at each other just and asked each other, are you done yet? Because I'm done, you know? And it was at that point that leads us to my second point. Where we find satisfaction, how in the world do you find, how in the world do we find satisfaction with where we are? Tell you what, it's not because of me. It's not because of her. It's not because of Pastor. It's not because of any of our family. It has been a relearning to follow Jesus and to rely on Him and His power and His grace and mercy, really. I mean, there's no way that I just don't understand how people do it without Him. So that's where we find satisfaction. I would encourage you, if you are looking for that same satisfaction, I'd be more than happy to obviously talk to you, or you can talk to the pastor, you can talk to any of our church members here today, because you're missing out. You're missing out on that ultimate satisfaction. And then finally, just to be quick here for the support factor, and that's for you. Oh, what I didn't talk about. So a year ago, or more than a year ago, when we got into our struggle, we really started to pursue the adoption process. So we entered in the adoption process through an organization based out of Belleville, have an office in East Alton, and have an office in Belleville. Caritas Family Solutions is the name of the organization. We are in our very last, we are just waiting for a call at this point, right? And so how this works is that the adoption agency that we go through is a newborn adoption. So our agency seeks out mothers, and or mothers seek out our agency when they are considering adoption. So our agency helps birth mothers who are considering adoption go through the process and help them understand that when they give their baby up for adoption, it is going to be taken care of to the fullest extent. Okay, so part of that process that we have to go through, which has been, you know, probably a year or better, a year and a half or better, is that we go through all these, you know, we go through interviews, we fill out paperwork, we pay a lot of money, we do all kinds of things. We answer weird questions like, do you have standing water in your yard? When it rains, do you have guns in your house? Technically, it's in the truck. You know, so, And then part of the last part of the process is that you write a birth parent, a letter to the birth parent. And this letter is currently in a book with 17 other adoptive parents. And you can also find it online, but it contains our letter. And this is our letter. I printed off 40 of these last night. So there are 39 on the table back there in a green folder underneath the blue banner. And this is for you. I printed off a letter for you to ask you to take one home. I'm not asking to be put on your fridge. But if you could fold this, either way, and throw it in your Bible, or throw it in a place where it's special to you, where you go to have your time. It could be in your car. We ask, Jessica and I ask, that you put this somewhere where each time you see it, you'll pray for the baby we are adopting. We don't know that baby. Only one person knows that baby. So pray for that baby. He may not be created yet. Or babies. Could be babies. We've said that we'd take twins. So please take one of these. I'm going to ask you, Pastor, if you remember after your sermon to remind us to take one of these. I'd appreciate that. So that's our story. That's our story of our struggle, where we find our satisfaction, and asking you to support us in prayer. Support us in your thoughts. Maybe not on your fridge, but maybe in your car. Thank you.
Children's Church, so we'd like to take this opportunity. I'd like to pray with you guys if we can. I mean, I think church, I don't know if we see it yet, but this is really a beautiful thing for anybody outside of this couple to be a part of. I mean, maybe family and things like that, but for you guys to allow us into this process is really amazing. And so you can see the desire, you can see the longing, you can see the struggle and the pain, but you can hear the plea as well. You know, pray for us. It's one thing when somebody says, I'll pray for you, that always feels good. But when somebody prays with you, to me, that's a big deal. You know, it's different. And so we want to pray with them today, and definitely pray with them as you take one of those letters. All right? So let's bow together, and let's just come to the same Father. Father, you are a great God, and you're worthy of our highest praise. And we thank you for how you've drawn us to yourself, and just as Jamie said, you have adopted us. Through no merit of our own, you just want us, and you've invited us to be a part of your family, and we thank you for that. And God, we thank you so much for our Peace Church family. I can never thank you enough for the people that you've allowed us to partner with here, who love us and who encourage us and help equip us, and who've just partnered here with us. Just so very blessed. And Lord, that includes Jamie and Jessica. Lord, this couple is very dear to our heart, no more dear to our heart than yours. But we thank you for the privilege that you've allowed us here just to join together in worship, to join together in service, to join together in life. And Lord, your word calls us time and time again just to pray for each other and to bear one another's burdens. And we just thank you for the privilege that we have today of lifting these two to you. Yeah, we thank you for their heart, and we thank you for their simplicity, Lord, and their obedience, just coming back to what it really looks like to follow you. And I just thank you for the richness that you've brought through their life. Lord, time and time again throughout the Bible, we see that you've made promises to people, and Lord, they don't always happen in our way or timetable. And so we're just asking here today for continued strength and patience and joy just as your plan day by day continues to unfold. And Father, we do think of this child or children who you have in line for them. And we pray that you just minister health and hope to the mother of this child or children. Father, that above all things that she would know you. And we pray specifically for this child as well. Lord, that you'd minister health there. And in your time, that you would just align these three or four or five souls together to participate in one of the most beautiful things on the planet. And that's being a part of a family. And so, God, we just love you today. We thank you for your presence and work in our life. Thank you for your word, which has told us here this morning that you're our Father and you know all things about us. We have no need to fear or worry. We'll seek your kingdom first and we'll trust whatever it is that you allow to happen or that you bring our way. Thanking you all along for the partnership that we have with you. So we thank you for them here. We thank you for friends and family who've come to be in support today. Thank you for allowing us just to be a part of their life. And we pray your blessing upon this family. And Lord, we are excited, to say the least, to be able to celebrate when that phone rings or when that text comes or when it's announced here. We look forward to that day, but we thank you for this one right here, not looking past this moment. You've got purpose in this right now, and so we thank you for this. Above all things, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We pray that you'd make yourself known this morning. We ask this in his name. Amen. Yeah, love you guys. All right, we can dismiss our children here if you guys would like to go to children's church. You guys had a good week? Some of you have. Today officially starts the new week, I guess. So have you had a good week at this point? I don't know that it could get any better. All right, so I just appreciate you being here today and for your participation in Bible studies and just encouragement with one another through worship and just for listening here as Jamie and Jessica shared her heart as well. Right, so we're just thankful for them and for the privilege we have there. So do hope you've had a good week. We've been praying for you this week that you'd find the Lord if you don't know him, and that you'd find him if you do know him in every situation that you find yourself in. So whether you've had a high or a low, we hope that you've been able to find the Lord in that and support yourself through him, through prayer, through the reading of his word, and through letting his spirit transform you. All right? There's three words that kind of govern what we do here: connect, grow, and serve. And we believe when Jesus said, go make disciples, that that matters. And so we're passionate about pursuing that. We want everything we do to be a part of that. And so we ask ourselves these questions every week about being in the Word and praying and living as his servant. So hope that you've taken advantage of the opportunity you've had this week. Anybody been able to love anybody this week? One has. All right. Have I been loved by somebody? I hope so, right? Jesus said there's two things that matter in life. Love God with all you've got and love everybody else like you love yourself. And so when we can receive that love from God and we can give that out and love to others, we're working to participate in our mission. And so just want to encourage you to be a participator, a partner in why you've been put on this planet. All right, well, as always, we're going to follow our theme for this week. So our theme for this week is adoption. And we say that here every week. We tend to follow a theme. Our morning Bible study is geared around a theme. Our morning music, scripture reading, our time together in the Word is usually around the same theme. So we walk out with kind of a general idea of where we tried to go this morning. So our theme today is adoption. And in our morning studies, they were in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible and you'd like to go ahead and turn there, that would be great. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. You can follow along in your bulletin. The text is printed there, and it's also up on the wall. You can follow along there when we get to that portion of the service here this morning. But typically, we like to talk. So I like to talk beforehand, and I'm going to ask you for a response here in just a minute before we progress into the message. But today's thought is the forever family. the forever family. And we've stated it already, but one of the best things on the planet to be a part of is family. Right? Family is a place where you find your belonging, where you find people love you and care for you as you are. You're accepted. You're welcomed always, even though you may not always be liked. All right, so family is a good place for most people. Right? Most people would have that perspective. However, there are some people who would walk around who feel that they've been neglected, they've experienced abuse, they've been unwanted, and so they would think of family in negative terms. So if we were to make this statement today, and we will, how would you respond? The family that you have here on this planet is temporary. And you respond by saying what? Amen. So we've got some people saying, thank you, Jesus. Right? Any other response? No? All right, so I think there would be those who would say, let's get this over with. Right? Because family to me means nothing. But then there are those who would probably say on the flip side of that, man, I'm going to seize every moment that I have. I'm going to make the most of every opportunity that I have because this family here is temporary. And so this morning we're going to look through a family that's going to last forever. So whether you've had a good family experience or a difficult family experience, what we want to share with you is the family that you've been created to be a part of and how we can become a part of that family and what it looks like to be a member of that family. So we're going to go to Galatians 4, as we said, and we're going to read the first 7 verses here in just a minute. But you'll find a guy by the name of Paul who wrote this letter to the church's believers in Galatia, and he's trying to encourage them in some things. He's giving them some teaching. He's going to talk to them about their freedom in Christ. He's going to talk to them about their faith. He's going to talk to them here this morning about what it looks like to be part of this forever family. And so he makes a distinction between an heir, H-E-I-R, joint heirs that we heard about already, and a slave. So there's a comparison here that we're going to read through, an heir and a slave. So here's how it works, simple terms. An heir, let's say an heir is a child. That child is restricted to what they can inherit until they reach a certain age, right? Typically that's how it is. So if I were to pass away and my children were to receive whatever it is that I have, then they would have to wait to an appointed age to get those things, to inherit it. So the text is going to say, as an heir, we're under restrictions. As slaves, we're under the same restrictions. So I don't know that any of us introduce ourselves as, hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm a slave, but we are. Right? Everybody at some point on this planet has been a slave. You say, no, not me. I'd say, well, let's talk about it. What the Bible's referring to here as a slave is being controlled by something within us. And everybody on the planet is controlled by one of two natures, either our sin nature or God's nature. We're all a slave. We're all working, serving one of those two things. So Paul says here, just like a slave is under this authority, just like an heir is waiting for his time, so are people who have yet to receive Christ. But the appointed time has come, and that time could be today. Could be a day of adoption. So we'll see here, Galatians 4, what Paul has to say. I'll try to put some pictures to what he is writing. So you can follow along here this morning in your Bible or on the wall, in your bulletin, wherever you'd like to follow. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father." Verse 3. "Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." So there's that slavery under the principles of the world. Verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ." And so three things we want to work through here this morning. We tend to work in threes. And so we're going to talk through three little things that, as it relates to being part of the forever family, what it means that we're actually a part of that. And so maybe you know these, maybe you don't. But if we do, I pray it's a good reminder. And if we don't, I pray this becomes our reality here this morning. Because truth of the matter is, I'm not interested in giving speeches. I don't like to just stand around and talk. And so this isn't me trying to speak. We've been begging the Lord to speak to each of our lives today. And so I pray that's what happens here this morning as we encounter this word. So let's note three things. You can follow in your bulletin if you'd like. You don't have to. It's just there for personal benefit if you so choose. All right, so the first is this. In the forever family, we are wanted by God. In the forever family, you and I are wanted by God. Isn't it a good thing to be wanted? That's a good feeling, right? The flip side of that coin is a terrible feeling, feeling unwanted. So let's go back and dig up some old memories, those things that you've long forgot about for some of you maybe. You remember when it came to time to pick teams, maybe in your neighborhood for football or soccer or basketball or at school? And so you had a couple captains, and what did they do? They got to choose the teams, right? And so if you weren't the captain, you just kind of stood in the line. And that's a fun place to be, right? If you're the great athlete who's great at everything. But if you're not, then it's terrifying. It's nerve-wracking. So I can remember standing in that line, depending on the sport. If it was basketball, I was tall. Like, I've been this height since sixth grade. And so they're like, Corey. Yes. But if it was other things like soccer, I mean, I was the last guy. Oh, come on. You'll make our team odd. It doesn't matter. Just get on the team. That's a terrible feeling, right? But when somebody picks you, makes you feel wanted, that's a great thing. I can remember standing, facing my wife here a little over 17 years ago, sharing our vows. And I can remember her sharing her vows with me. And it just sometimes still kind of gets all over me, like, she really chose me. You ever feel that way, guys? Oh, you better. I can remember standing there, and even now it's like, that wasn't an arranged marriage, as far as I know. You're laughing. Maybe I'm the one who's being joked on. No, it wasn't an arranged marriage, and she wasn't under any obligation to marry me. It's not like we made a bet or a deal or one of us lost the deal. When we stood there face to face and looked at one another and made our vows, it's because she wanted to marry me. She chose me. And that was a good feeling on that day. It's a good feeling every day when I walk in and I think, she wants me. Yeah, in all sorts of ways. But she does. She loves me, and she wanted to be with me, wanted to spend her life with me. And that still gets all over me. This is true with adoption as well, right? Children don't walk into somebody's house or knock on a door and go, hey, will you adopt me? It doesn't work that way. It's usually the adults who initiate the adoption. They look at that newborn, or they look at that child or that adolescent or that teen, and they go, I want you. And I've never experienced that on this kind of planet Earth level, but that's got to be an amazing feeling. Some of you have adopted children here, and I'm sure their story would be that. Just to know that I was wanted meant a whole lot to me. We're going to see in our text today that Paul makes this clear as well. So let's go back there. Verse 4, Galatians 4, verse 4. We're just going to read the first half of it. It says, but when the set time had fully come, what did God do? God sent his son. When the set time had come, God sent his son. So remember how we started off saying, if I was a child who was going to inherit something, I couldn't get it until I reached a certain age. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Until the set time had come, until Christ had come, Christ revealed, the mystery made clear, right? We were all under the law. Slaves to sin, but now that Christ has come, that can be removed or lifted, and we can have a new day or walk a new direction. And so what does God do? He sends his son. What that simply means is he took the first step. He initiated the relationship, or he chose us. And so when we read that in the text today, God sent his son, that's to remove any doubt whatsoever if God wants me. And it's to remove any doubt in your mind, does God want me or does God want you? Absolutely, he wants you. You say, you don't know me. I don't have to know you to know that God wants you. You say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. I bet we compare resumes. I bet my pages are a little bit longer than yours. I bet my life history is a little bit more ugly than yours is. And yet God chose me. He wants me. And so when he said, I'm sending my son, he's demonstrated that he has great affection for us. So God knew some things that we need to know here this morning when we're talking through adoption. God knew there was no way that I could ever adopt myself into his family. You know how you get adopted into God's family? Anybody? You got to be perfect. Perfecto. And how many of us are perfect? Miss Christine's honest enough to say, Miss Willie's, not me. Anybody else? None of us are perfect. And so how do I get in? We'll get into that here in a minute. But it's His demand is perfection. No sin. Never told a lie. Never done one thing wrong. Never disobeyed your parents. Never had a thought that was dishonoring to God. Never used any kind of words that would slander God. Perfect. Or you don't get in. And so God looked at us and said, you're not going to get there on your own. You can't adopt yourself into my family. And so I'm going to initiate the step. I'm going to look beyond your sin, Corey. And I'm going to make the way for you to be adopted. And so this beautiful phrase, God sent his son, should be something that's sticking with us. Was God obligated to adopt us? No, he wasn't forced to adopt us. Nobody twisted his arm and said, you got to do something for these wretches. He desired to act, and so he did first, to simply say, I want you. I want you to be a part of my family. And I hope you hear that this morning, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. God wants you to be a part of his family. Not because of anything you've ever done. Not because of how bad or good your past is. Not because of what somebody thinks of you as highly or how low people may have an idea of you. God wants you. God desires us this morning. And so we see in the forever family we're wanted. All right, but let's progress here. It's got to start there somewhere. God's got to desire us or want us. But here we're going to see that he's also proving that we have great worth to God. Can I just ask you a question? Remember the song that Jim sang with his hands? There's a line in that song that says, the second verse, all my life I have felt what? Unworthy. Can you identify? I mean, sometimes maybe in circles like this, we like to feel like maybe we're okay. But when it's just you and it's your thoughts and it's just you and God and you're riding in that car or you're laying in that bed or you're walking down that road, do you ever just feel like I'm unworthy? Why would anybody ever want to marry me? Why would I ever have the privilege of being a father? I'm a wreck. Why would I ever have a privilege of being a pastor? Why would I ever be allowed to be a part of God's family? I'm totally unworthy. See, God demonstrated that you and I are of great worth. So not only does he want us, but he says you're worth something. You know what we do when something's worth it? How many of you came in a car, whatever, rode your mule, unicycle, I don't know how you got here. You didn't walk, all right? We had a hot air balloon here yesterday. Maybe you rode in on a hot air balloon. However you got here, you looked at that vehicle and you said the price that's on that sticker or our negotiated price is worth it because you did what? You paid it. You got a phone in your purse or you got a phone in your pocket and it cost some cash and you paid money for that because in your eyes it was worth it. And you got the shoes on your feet and you got the purse on your arm. You got the shades on your head. Right? Everything we have, we pay the price because what we're saying is, it's worth it. And so when God gave Jesus, God sent his son to pay our price, what he's saying is, you're worth it. You're valuable. So quit telling yourself you're worthless. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy which says you're undesirable. I want you. And I'm doing everything possible to let you know. And part of that's right here today. I want you, and you have great value. Just doing a little research here recently, thinking through adoption for this Sunday. The Child Welfare Agency in this country says the average cost of adopting a child is anywhere from $8,000 to $40,000. That's a pretty broad range, but when you consider adopting many of these outside of the country or listed in this, then there's all sorts of other fees included in that. But whether it's $8,000 or $40,000, what does it tell you about adoption? It's expensive. It's costly. See, to prove that something has value and worth requires something or someone to pay the price. Adoption has a price that must be paid. And so let's go back to our text. Paul makes this clear as well. We've sung through it this morning. Verse 4 and 5 and 6 of Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, all right, set time, we're back there again, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those under that law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Verse 6 says, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our heart, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And so we see the cost here conveyed to us in one little word. You know what it is? Starts with an R and ends with edim. Redeem. You know what it means to redeem something? It means to pay for it. It means to buy it back. It means to give up something that would be a ransom. And so we sang about it this morning. There is a redeemer. Jim signed it for us this morning. I am redeemed. It's this theme that works about adoption. So in the forever family context, here's how it works. God took it upon himself to pay the price so we could be adopted into his family. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, if one of us would come along, Jamie and Jessica, and say, hey, listen, we want to cover all your expenses to adopt children. Build a bigger home, more rooms, many children as you want. Wouldn't that be nice? All that you need here is just laid out for you. I want to do this for you. That's exactly what God has done for us. Can we adopt ourselves into his family? Not at all. And so he said, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to spend whatever the cost is so that I can provide adoption to you. What is the cost? So we've already stated we're all sinners. We've all committed some sort of sin, right, in the eyes of God. So the Bible says the wages of sin is, fill it in, death. So what's a wage? It's a payment. It's what you earn, right? So a lot of us here are working or we have worked in our life. So when you work and you get that time card, you put your time on and you get that check in the mail or you pick it up or it's directly deposited, that's what you've earned, right? Based on your agreement with your employer. So work X amount of hours, get X amount of dollars. When you work X amount of hours, you get X amount of dollars. That's a wage that it's earned. The Bible says through my sin, what I've earned is death. That's the payment that's mine. And so rightfully, I should lay down my life and pay the payment of death. But that's where God gave his son. Remember, God sent his son so that you and I could be forgiven. So Jesus willingly laid down his life so that we could be saved. Now, remember what the one requirement was to get into God's family? We have to be what? Perfect. And so here's where that comes in. God in the flesh came and walked this planet just like I'm walking right now. And he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. And so when he went to that cross and he laid down his life and he shed his blood, just as Jamie shared with us, he was perfect. And so God looked at the payment of the cross and he said, I'll accept that payment because it's worthy. Perfection is what's required. And so when the perfect Son of God died in his exchange, then he was willing to give us his perfection. So he says, I'll take your sin, I'll take your impurity, and in its place I'll give you my purity and perfection. So do you see the exchange, how it can happen? When you and I receive Christ, God adopts us into his family because he's redeemed us. He's paid the price. And when I receive Jesus as my Savior, I'm then welcomed. I'm then able to see that I have great worth in the eyes of God. Only the death of Christ could redeem us. Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ redeemed us. Nobody else. Christ redeemed us. And that's the only way it happens. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Hey, be perfect and you can be family with God. That's a cruel joke to play on us, don't you think? How could I ever get to be family with God? I'll never be perfect. And so Jesus paid the price on the cross, taking on the curse of the law. It says he became a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. For there to ever be a relationship between anybody and God, guys, it's got to start with realizing, one, that I'm a sinner, but also that God wants me and that God has demonstrated to me great value by redeeming me through his son. Therefore, I can be adopted. Here's the picture. No redemption, guess what? No adoption. No redemption, no adoption. No price paid, out of luck. Right? That's how it would work if you went to the office. I can't afford to adopt a child. I'm sorry. It costs money. I can't be perfect to get into heaven. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay your price either. Thankfully, there's redemption. And so that's why we sing and celebrate this morning. I'm redeemed. That's why we celebrate a redeemer. because we can then be adopted. So once again, no matter what the world says of you, no matter how ugly your past, God has demonstrated that you have worth. So I don't care if you had a good family experience or bad family experience. I don't know what churches some of you have come from, if you go to church at all. If you've had a good church experience or bad church, I don't care. What you've got to hear is God loves you, God wants you, and He's not worried about anything in your past because He can erase it. And He's already proved that by paying the price, perfection, on the cross. Redeemed is the word, so that you and I could be adopted. And when I say I don't care, I'm not saying I'm not interested in your story. What I'm saying is there's a bigger picture you've got to see. We can't just dwell on what we've been. Let's look at who we can be, who we are in Christ. You have great worth in the eyes of God. I bet you wouldn't give your child to die for me, would you? No. I probably wouldn't give mine to die for you. I'd die for mine. What manner of love is this? That the Father has given His Son so that we could be forgiven. John says we could be called sons of God, and that is exactly what we are. So in the forever family, we've got these things going on. God wants us. He's proved that we've got worth. But here, third and last this morning, in the forever family, we're a family with God. What's that mean? What's it mean that you and I are family with God? Very simply, it works this way. When I receive Jesus Christ as my only hope, I welcome Him as my Savior. It's then that my sin debt is removed. And the beauty of that, which is hard to understand, is the sin that you'll commit when you walk out of here, the sin that I'll commit tomorrow, is already forgiven. And so I don't have to live afraid or worried or condemned. I can live from a position of victory because it's already been paid. So I'm no longer a slave under the law, is what the text says. There's no longer any use for me trying to measure up. You know how much that stinks? You ever lived in the shadow of somebody? Good grief. I've got a brother, an older brother, whose nickname is Perfect, better known as Travis. And Travis set the bar high for me. And I came along and I didn't meet any of those standards. So, straight A student, I mean, since he could walk, you know, he's at the point of death and was healed. Like, I can't do that. You know, never really practiced a whole lot at anything, but he could do just about everything. I mean, just picks up computer technology stuff, instruments. He can play awesome. That's hard living in somebody's shadow, isn't it? It's hard to be that person that's kind of following along after somebody and we're just not sure that we're going to measure up. What Paul says here is this: you don't have to. See, quit trying to clean your life up before you get right with God. Quit trying to get your family in order before you say, now God will love me. Listen, God takes me as I am right now, warts and all, sin and all, weakness and all, and He does the same thing for you. Here's the word picture. I'm a fisherman. I like to fish, so this kind of helps me. How many of us clean our fish before we catch them? It's pretty silly, isn't it? You say, Corey, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous for us to try to measure up to God's standard of perfection. So I'm going to be a good husband, I'm going to be a good wife, I'm going to be a good child, I'm going to raise good children, I'm going to be a good worker, I'm going to be a good neighbor, I'm going to be a good friend. And all these things got to matter somehow in God's eyes that He'll accept me. And all we're doing is trying to measure up, always falling short. See, what's hard for me to grasp sometimes is it's not about me and what I can do, it's about Jesus and what He has done. It's all grace. It's all forgiveness. It's all redemption. So that I could live and enjoy Him. He understands that I am dust. And yet He still loves me. And yet He still redeems me. And yet He still calls for people to be adopted into His family. Let's read this here. Verse 6 and 7. Galatians 4. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, so you're no longer a slave, but you're God's what? Child. And since you are a child, you've already been told, you are also an heir. So God has reached to us, and He's called to us. And he says, I want you to be a part of my family, my forever family. And I've done everything necessary for you. I just simply want you to understand who you are and why I've created you and who my son is and why you need him. And if you'll receive him, just as Jamie shared earlier, you'll have satisfaction like you've never known. Doesn't mean life goes your way. You've just heard the story of struggle. But there's a presence in the struggle. There's a peace in the struggle. There's a comfort in the unknown. There's this deep satisfaction which says, I can rest this with God, even though I may not enjoy it or understand it. Jesus said this back in John. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about the Father. Jesus traveled and taught for about 3 years was his ministry. There's about 110 pages in your Bible dedicated to his ministry. We've recorded about 25,000 of the words that he spoke. And of those 25,000 words, 181 of those words are directly about the Father. So what that tells us is one out of every 140 words that Jesus said were related to us being adopted, us knowing God. Think it's important? He came to make it clear that we are to be adopted into this family. And so let's hear what he says here in John 1. We're talking about Jesus here, right? He says, yet to all who did receive him, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, that is, receive Jesus. What's it mean to receive Jesus? Read the next phrase. To those who believed in his name. Receiving Jesus is believing that he is Jesus, that he really did live, that he really did die as a perfect sacrifice to pay our price, redeem us, so we could be adopted. To those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. You know what that means? I have four children. How many of them get into heaven on dad's coattails? Zero. How many of them can have a relationship with the Father, can be adopted because I'm adopted? Zero. None of them are in this position. None of us have been given the right to be sons of God because of our heritage or how we've been born, nor of human decision or a husband's will. But these children are born of God. And so listen, God wants you. God wants you. And he has paid the price to adopt you here this morning. He's planned all along for you to be a part of his family. Regardless of if people say you're a mistake or not, you've always been a plan in the eyes of God. And this morning, not only does he want to adopt you, but he wants to set you free from that spirit that seeks to enslave you. Because the time has come. The time has come. Redemption is here. It's time to be adopted. It's time to be welcomed into the forever family. We have several friends who have, and family members who have adopted children. And most people who adopt speak of two special days. There's the day they were born, and we celebrate that also. That's our birthday. But there's also this day they call Gotcha Day. Isn't that a good phrase? Man, you can just picture everything in that moment. Whether they were this big or this big, it's the moment that I got my hands on, and you were mine. Gotcha Day. And so they celebrate the birthday, and they celebrate the Gotcha Day. Both of those days are significant. Listen, both of those days are significant in the forever family of God. The day where you were physically born, we celebrate birthdays. We should. We enjoy life. But we also celebrate the day where it was made clear to us that God our Father gave his son Jesus to be our Redeemer, to pay the price for our adoption so that we could become a part of the forever family. And so maybe today is your day to celebrate that. And we'd love nothing more than to get a little excited. You couldn't tell that by how we're sitting here for the most part. But we would love to enjoy what God is doing in your life. We would love to enjoy that. And so maybe God is working, stirring your heart this morning. Maybe it's something that he's already done, just some reminders in your life here today. I just hope you've heard, not me, if you walk out of here saying, he said some words that were good. He said, if it's about me, then we've missed the mark. If we can walk out of here with highlights on the Father, If we can walk out of here with our eyes at least directed to Jesus, maybe we haven't responded yet, then we're working to do our part. And so it's been our aim this morning to steer all of us to Christ. It's been our aim this morning that we would allow God to speak. And it's been our aim this morning that we would respond however God is working. And so I just want to ask you this morning, is He working in your life? I mean, do you know that you're part of the family? Are you sure that you're part? If not, I'd like to talk with you about that. Maybe you'd say, I've never really believed in Jesus Christ. I'm sure He's existed, but I never really saw that I needed Him to be adopted. I thought everybody goes to heaven. There's a step in there, right? The Redeemer paid the price for whose sin? All sin. All sin's been paid for. But we've got to receive Jesus to be adopted. So maybe today you'd like to believe in Him as your only hope. He would love to be a part of, rather, He'd love for you to be a part of His family. Maybe you've already been a part of the family. I pray this morning this will encourage you and remind you that God wants you just as you are. That you have great worth, because even as believers, we have days where we feel like we stink it up pretty bad. That you have great worth because you're still part of the family. You're not in because you're good. You're not out because you're bad. I pray we'll be reminded today of what it cost to be a part of the family, and that we'll follow. We'll fulfill our role as members of the family, joint heirs, people connected together with Christ.